We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where I try to figure out how I'm still single, even though I will lick your armpit and let you kiss me right after. My guest today, you know him from his podcast, Inside the Disney Vault. You also know him from UCB. He performs so much. He's got a fabulous show, which I'm a part of, called UCB Drag Race, which is so much fun. It's monthly. Go to the UCB website. Look for those dates. You've also seen him in many a TV show and a commercial. Currently, this Snickers commercial that is so funny about the pronunciation of almond. It honestly makes me
laugh. What?
It makes me laugh every time I see it. I laugh so hard. Please welcome Oscar Montoya.
That was, if only I were introduced that way forever and ever.
I honestly just started crying thinking about that commercial. And I'm like, oh, there's tears in my eyes. I think it's really funny.
It's surprisingly funny. When I was shooting it, I was like, this commercial is so weird. Uh-huh. This is something that's going to air once and then never, and then truly
girl,
banned.
That's going to pay your rent for a little bit.
Ooh, girl. It was so.
Have you ever gotten that reaction before from it, where someone remembers it and then immediately starts laughing so hard they start crying?
No, but I will say, I've done a couple of stuff, but mm-hmm. this is the one that has gotten the most attention. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've gotten messages from Retta, which I'm like,
really?
Hello, Sterling K. Brown, get
Wait,
out of
really?
Here. Straight up. Like, they'll record themselves watching the commercial and they're like, who is this person? And then people will tag me and then they'll message me being like, hey, keep up the good work. And I die.
What a treat. This is like why I love that the internet is so accessible to people. Because you got instant feedback that people think this commercial is so fucking funny.
Yes.
Which it is. It's really funny.
It's so...
But then like there's the dark side to the internet where people are like, hey, you nasty fat bitch. I want to tell you exactly what's on my mind.
Do you ever like read the comments?
Yes. I talk about it all the time.
Oh my God.
I love to
you love it.
Read them. I do. I genuinely love to read them because I'm waiting for someone to be like, your soul's bad and here's why. And I'm like, oh, well, that's deeper than the performance. You saw something nobody else saw. Like, I'm waiting for it. Because, like, say I'm fat, say I'm black, say I'm not funny. All of that is, like, true and also subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whatever. And then sometimes I, like, just clarify things for people. So I read all of my Instagram comments, every single one. You know, because there's
I would too.
So many hours in the world. So, like, why not spend a couple of them reading comments? But this lady was like, why do you disrespect yourself and fat shame yourself by using hashtags so fat, so brave? And I was like, I think you're confused.
She doesn't get it. She doesn't get it.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, I'm not confused. I think you're beautiful. And I'm not gay or anything. And I was like, whoa. I was like,
just so y'all know.
Yeah, just so you know. You're beautiful, but I ain't gay.
No homo.
No homo. I do not want to slop on your chocolate burger. I'm not here for that, but you're beautiful.
But that chocolate burger is very nice. I like that chocolate. I would never order it in a restaurant.
I would never order a chocolate burger. No, I only like chocolate penis. But I said back to her, I said, what is gay? You had a
conversation.
Yes, because I said to her in the first time, the first when she was like, you're fat shaming yourself, I said, I think you're confused.
Yeah.
Then she said that she wasn't gay. She was paying me a compliment. One queen to another, you're beautiful. So then I said, what does being gay have to do with anything?
Nothing.
One. Two, I am fat and I'm beautiful. The two are not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. You can be both of these items.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, why not say I'm fat? Like, thin people don't go, I am not thin. No. How dare you say I am skinny? Toned? You think I'm fucking toned? So, like,
hashtag so skinny, hashtag so toned.
So toned, so brave.
So brave. Bless you.
Like, you can say anything about someone's body except fat.
Yeah. Why is that such a...
Because fat is a bad word, and it shouldn't be. Mm-mm. Every single person on this earth, down to the skinniest little bag of bones, mm-hmm. has fat on them.
Yeah.
You have at least 1% of fat on you. Mm-hmm. Everyone has fat. Some people have more fat than other people. And I just... Honestly, like a little fatty, I think it's, I don't know.
But it is all about, just taking the words that were used to make fun of you mm-hmm. in a positive way.
Yes.
Is empowering. And yes. Hey, listen, so many people have called me that, like, why can't I call myself that?
Yes.
Why can't I just claim that word back?
Then I go, oh, okay. So that's what you see.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess I'm a fat person.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could change it, but I don't, maybe now I don't want to. But then, so I read this article where they were like, did you watch Michelle Wolf's first episode of her show?
Yes.
So she like goes in on Mario Batali for being like a fat little piece of shit mm-hmm. who, you know, out there are touching. He's like, I want to touch donuts and people. And I read this article. This woman's reaction was like, she fat shamed Mario Batali. I know he's bad, but like, maybe we don't, you know, criticize his appearance.
Are you kidding?
And, you know, he is fat, but like, that's not why he's bad. Mm-hmm. And I read that and was like, what?
What's going on?
That she's like going in on this man who's bad.
Who's a bad guy, a villain.
He's bad.
Yeah.
And she's calling him fat. Okay, I don't think she's saying the fat made him bad. I think maybe she's just saying he a fat man.
Those fat little hands are the bad guys.
Them fat little hands that he can't separate because they're so fat. He's just mittening ladies. That's
mitten the ladies.
That's funny. That's not fat shaming. Some people's fingers are so fat it looks like mittens. Not shaming, it's just the truth. But I was like, what's the difference between calling Mario Batali, you know, fat, or calling fucking, who's that Keebler elf who's him? Who's the Keebler elf that Trump nominated? He talks like this. He's that little Keebler elf. Do you know who I'm talking about? He's that racist little Keebler elf. What is his name? Do you know who I'm talking about? Marissa, do you know who I'm talking about? What's his name? Yes, Jeff Sessions. Looks like a Keebler elf. What am I, elf shaming at this point? He looks like a little Skeletor elf. He looks like Yoda. Like, am I now Star Wars shaming?
Get ready, girl. Get ready for them hate mail coming at you.
I can't wait. I dare you to say I'm fat shaming. I dare you. And that lady made a comment on me wearing a bikini. And I was like fat shaming myself as I roll around half naked. Where's the shame? If anything, I'm fat exhibitionisting myself. I just made up a fucking word.
Fat exhibitioning.
I mean, I don't know.
I totally feel that. I mean, it's so funny because I read the comments for the Snickers commercial that I was in, and they were mostly pretty, but a lot of it is so weird because I am like ethnically ambiguous. People are really on the quest defining what my ethnicity is and like always comparing me to like, oh, that's like a light-skinned Childish Gambino. Or like the weird, I mean, I get, oh, that looks like Jimmy Fallon, which I'm like,
what?
In what reality do I ever look like Jimmy Fallon? Or the one that really gets me is like, oh, that's a guy of How I Met Your Mother.
What?
Josh Radnor? Radnor? My favorite comment of all time is someone said, tell me that doesn't look like Josh Radnor and Childish Gambino in a fat suit.
I don't see that at all.
At all.
And I don't understand why people need to have a point of reference to see something. Why can't you see something new and go, oh, this is a person, I don't know who he looks like because he looks different than anybody I've ever seen.
Exactly. No.
I don't understand why you have to look like somebody. Mm-hmm. May I ask, what is your ethnicity?
I'm Afro-Colombian. So my dad is black. Mm-hmm. He's from the Bronx. And my mom is from Colombia. I was born in Colombia. So my dad was a welder and he welded ships and went to Colombia for work.
Yes.
And my mom, she would do this thing where she would hang out by the docks to
catch herself a welder. Encore.
So she saw my mom. And, you know, like in Colombia, black men are rare. Mm-hmm. So she saw my dad and was like, OK, what's this? Mm-hmm. And she went up to him. They fucked. She wrapped her pussy lips around my dad's dick and was like, you're mine now.
She sucked the soul out here.
Yep. Had my older sister, had me. Then we came to the States after that.
I love it. Are they still together?
They are still together.
Ugh, that's very, very cute. Mm-hmm. I very much like that story.
How did your parents meet?
My understanding is... Well, I haven't taught. My parents are dead. I don't know if you know that, but they are dead.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, they dead. thank you for laughing. Sometimes I'll like go in on it and people just go, oh,
I'm sorry.
And I'm like, if I'm smiling and saying they're dead, you can smile too, whatever. I had a good time with them. I got a good time without them. So my mother worked at the University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And was working her way through school. And my dad was in school, not working because, I don't know, scholarships? Who knows? And I believe they met because my mother was helping my dad with English because he was a math man, a math and science guy. He was an engineer. He helped write programs on how you build on your cell phone usage.
Oh, what?
Yeah, my dad like wrote code and was a very smart man, and I didn't know any of this until he died.
What?
So I knew my dad was an engineer who worked
at AT&T. Did he just not tell you?
I was not interested in anything he needed to say to me. Mm-hmm, 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 he would open his mouth and I would say, you're dumb and you don't understand life. You don't understand me and I don't need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So like we really butted heads and didn't get along. Mm-hmm. I just knew he was an engineer. Didn't know what kind. And then when he died, we were cleaning out his office and like he had this whiteboard with like hieroglyphics on it. And I looked at his like work friend, Steve. And I said, Steve, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's code. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, oh, your dad wrote codes? And I said, huh. And
he was like, I guess he did.
He was like, your dad has patents? And I was like, huh. And I was like, oh, so he was like actually important? Like as we're standing in like, his office was almost as big as this. It was a huge like corner office.
Wow.
And I was like, huh. So I guess like my dad did like pretty well here at AT&T. Okay. And then like, the money AT&T gave me and my sister was very much indicative of like he was important to their company.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was a while to figure that out after he died. It was weird because growing up, I truly was like, this man's a fool.
Yeah.
I don't suffer fools.
Were your parents separated?
No, they were together. My mom died when I was 16. Uh-huh. She was, honestly, I think if she had lived through
Bonnie.
Me and my sister.
We're talking about Bonnie, yeah?
Yeah, Bonnie Byer. Had she lived, to today, I'm sure she would be a teacher or something. Mm-hmm. Because she loved teaching. She loved kids. Mm-hmm. She loved trying to just, like, get a kid to act a little bit better.
Aww.
So, like, whenever people saw my mother, they would, like, kind of shape up and be like, Ms. Byer's gonna yell at me.
She's a disciplinarian.
She, when she was disappointed in you, you, like, felt it. And you were like, oh, man, oof. I did bad.
Yeah. I let Bonnie down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, like, at her funeral, so many of my friends and then people I wasn't friends with who my mom was like, she was also like a lunch lady. Like, she was always around.
Oh.
She was a woman who just like was meant to be a mother and wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
And she was very involved in me and my sister's school. Like, people still to this day will be like, oh man, I remember when Ms. Byer would be like, I don't know, can you? Can I go to the bathroom, Ms. Byer? Well, I don't know. Yeah. Can you? And they'd be like,
stuck with them forever and ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. Very, very sweet. And they, like, really, really loved each other. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm ever going to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the topic at hand.
Are you single?
Girl, yes. I've been single. Oh, God.
It's tough. When was your last long-term? My shirt has just been like up. It's because I have my dog's
first of all,
leash
I love your shirt.
Tucked into my leggings.
Your dog's been a bad boy, yeah?
He's been awful. He's just...
Well, one of the two. You have two dogs.
I have two dogs. People are going to listen to these three episodes in a row and be like, she definitely recorded these back to back. And I'll tell you something. I did. I
surprise.
Sure did. It's called I'm a Busy Bitch. You got to bank some episodes. Oh, I've lost my mind. Oh, my God. So you're single.
I am single. I've been single for the duration of my... I mean, I've been living in LA for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've been single for 4 years.
Okay.
I haven't been on a single date.
In 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
May I ask, you be fucking? You can say, I don't want to answer.
No, absolutely not. Have not been fucked.
You haven't fucked in 4 years?
No, yeah. It's embarrassing.
No.
But it's...
No, cut that shit out.
Well,
it is not embarrassing.
It's not because I'm not trying, because...
Yes.
I'm trying, but it's not work. I don't know. I don't know how you... How is it... Because you've lived in New York.
Yes.
You've lived in LA.
Yes.
What is the difference between LA,
okay.
New York, in that world?
I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, you can go to any fucking bar. Any bar, New York, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and you
Staten
could,
Island.
Staten Island, even Staten Island or Long Island. You can go to a bar and make 5 brand new best friends,
yep.
that you hang out with for the rest of the night, and you'll fuck one of them.
Yeah.
And in LA, you're lucky to make a friend at a bar.
Why is that?
I feel like LA is a really cliquey place.
Mm.
It's like living in the suburbs, but it's a city.
Yes, that was my first impression of LA.
Yeah, it's like widespread suburban city. And everyone is also in the industry.
Yeah.
It's a driving town. Nobody stays out very late.
Nope.
Everyone's like, well, I mean, I could have another drink, but I have SoulCycle and a kale appointment. And you're like, what's a kale appointment? I'm going to open my refrigerator and stare at some kale. And you're like, okay, great. I don't know.
You do you.
Okay. I feel like the people in this town are not fun. And the people who say they're fun are like, well, I'm going downtown to a warehouse loft party,
yeah.
where we're all going to wear crowns on our heads and take LSD. And I'm like, this is like too far in the
yes,
other
exactly.
direction.
Here's the thing. Once upon a time, I was all about that.
Yeah.
I'm at an age right now where truly I cannot keep up.
There's a lot of dive bars in Los Angeles. I think what I'm going to start doing is like maybe on Friday nights that like I'm not busy, just going to one of them and like hanging out and see if I meet some new friends and...
Because is your ideal scenario meeting a friend that then evolves into a relationship? Or like, what? How do you, just paint me a picture of the best possible scenario.
Here's the thing. I used to be like, I would love to date a friend. We already know each other, blippity blop. But lately I've been putting friends in a pocket. where I go, oh, you're like a brother now, and I can't even think of you sexually. And then for you to come out of that pocket and be like, I'm going to eat your pocket.
I'm
going
to eat that burger.
Give me that chocolate burger. One chocolate burger, please. I feel like that's a little weird for me.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I keep also meeting married men that I'm like,
are
baby,
you serious?
I think I like you. And then it's like, oh, you're married, so like I have to put you in that pocket. Mm-hmm. You can't try to do anything.
Nope.
It's a... And then apps, I don't know. And
what
then
apps
also,
are you on?
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Raya, Coffee Meets Bagel, OkCupid.
Wait, hold up. What's Hinge?
Hinge is like they take your Facebook friends and match you with other people that your friends, you have like connections with.
Interesting.
I don't fucking know. Yeah. And then there's questions and you have to like send a like. You have to be like, I like this question's a cool question.
What?
Yeah, I'll
show. Why is it this hard to meet someone?
I don't know.
Why are we resorting to fucking apps to meet people?
I don't know, but like some people have met on OkCupid like 10 years ago and they're like still together or like JD.
There's people that meet on fucking Grindr on like fuckmenow.com.
And I'm just like, did I miss the boat on
I know,
apps?
Girl, I feel the same way.
Is this like, is it on to the, what is the next?
What's,
fucking virtual reality? Like, hello. Like, I'm gonna get in my fucking phone.
It's my avatar.
Yeah, like, I don't know. So Hinge, it signed me right out. Haven't been in a while.
Uh-oh.
So, someone likes me.
Okay.
I have matched with this man on Hinge and on Tinder.
Uh-huh.
And he, so I asked him to send me like a, he FaceTimed me. So I was at dinner with Sashir. He FaceTimed me and I was like, no.
No, don't ever
and
do
then,
that.
Because we were texting and then his number popped up and then Sashir was like, answer. And I said, no, I think he's wild. So then we answered, he's wasted with a friend. He looks older than his pictures. And we just had this like weird conversation. I was like, I'm at a restaurant in Los Angeles. I almost said the restaurant and the city. So then I like hang up and so she was like, I like him. And I was like, I think he's wild. And then we like keep texting and it's like getting weirder and weirder and weirder. So then I like blocked his number because I was like, oh,
weirder in what way?
Just like, I don't know. Like I would be like, I never really started the conversations. I'm trying to think of one. But he would be like, hey, how are you? And I'd be like, oh, good. And he's like, great. I'm good, too. Do you like potato?
Okay.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, just a singular fucking potato? Like, a baked potato?
Yeah, the
mashed?
Concept of potatoes? Well,
yeah, what, like, what? Sure. The thought of potatoes, fun for me. What are we doing with this potato? Yeah. And I was like, I don't have time to figure out your, like, weird
shit. All these
shit.
Shenanigans, yeah.
So he just liked me again, and I'm not here for it. So Hinge... So you have pictures. So I have six pictures up, and then you pick questions, and then you answer them. So my questions are, weirdest gift I have given or received? I said, an Easter dinner via the mail, which is my aunt sent me a Easter dinner, non-refrigerated.
What is an Easter
dinner? With little dry ice.
What the fuck is
non-priority that?
Non-priority
that I left at the post office
it's
for
the
a couple days.
It's a thought that counts.
So you better believe there was a full cooked ham. You better believe there was a box of cornbread that she didn't feel like cooking. You better believe there was a Ziploc bag filled with macaroni and cheese. You better believe there was
she like, oh, Nicole loves my Easter dinner. I'm going to just give...
Well, I was living in New York at the time, and... I didn't have money to go back to go to Chicago for Easter.
Okay.
I didn't have money to go to Chicago for Christmas. I was just like really, really poor. And I think my aunt was just like, I'm going to do something nice for Nicole. You also better believe there was a package of raw bacon.
Oh, girl.
And I don't know what her thought process was when she Avenger assembled this together.
I'm calling out all the foods. Bacon, and cornbread.
Truly. So then it sat at the post office for like 2 days because so it was not priority. So four days.
It took its time.
4 days to get from Michigan to New Jersey or to New York. And then it sat on a truck. sat at the post office. Sunday was a holiday. Monday I was busy. Tuesday I was busy. Wednesday, oh shit, let me go get that package. Go to the post office at 125th. Give them that pink slip. The lady behind the counter
give you a look already
had
like
the
this,
longest
bitch.
Nails, the fingerest finger waves, one gold tooth, looked at my slip and went, ooh, ooh, ah, ooh, she's here, Beverly, she's here. And I said, oh,
uh-oh,
what is
what
her
were you,
and
what
Beverly,
were you expecting?
What they've been talking yeah. about.
You?
So then Beverly comes out.
Uh-huh.
Beverly has a very fake ponytail. Her edges weren't matching the ponytail. Beverly went, yes, yes!
They were
and then they clapped for a while. Like, it was the most insane thing to the point where my roommate goes, what is happening? Yeah. And I was like, bro, I don't know. So they give me this box that is dripping.
Mm-mm.
Stinking
no.
and dripping.
No, 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 no.
I take it over to a counter. Everybody
oh.
comes from behind the glass.
It's a production at this
yes,
point.
Yes. There are people online who are now every yeah. oh. the whole post office is looking at me. And because have you ever seen The End of Seven? I'm sure everybody thought, I won't ruin it for people. I'm sure
yeah.
people thought The End of Seven was happening. You know, what's in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box? What's in the box? So then I start pulling out all this food and everyone goes, oh my God, it's just food.
What?
And Beverly's like, why was food sent to you? Like, who did this to you? And I...
Did you talk to your aunt after?
No. Well, she messaged me and she goes, oh, did you get God. What I sent you?
Oh no.
And I said, I got it. Thank you so much. You never have to do that again. That was too much food. She goes, did you eat it all? I said... Yes, mm-hmm. I ate every last bite. What a dream, what a treat. Thank you so much. So that's the weirdest thing I ever got. And then
oh my God.
Another question, because we're talking about Hinge, is I'm actually legitimately bad at, I said, real job stuff. What's Excel?
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then it says, I'm looking for, I said, a huge dick. JK, I'm searching for real love. And that's the question people like to bring up the most.
So they like those questions the best.
Men love... Ooh, wait. We gotta take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the healthcare everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves healthcare. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
With chocolate treats mixed into dark chocolate ice cream, the Tillamook Chocolate Collection is a chocolate game changer. Because the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection Ice Cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Now we're back!
Oh my gosh, that was so long.
It was so long.
Why are you making me wait?
I'm sorry that like we had to take that break. I got a tweeze right here.
What?
I didn't take my ADHD medication. My brain is everywhere. I have like a little, like, fucking hair.
A scraggly.
A little scraggle. Yeah. Oh my God.
Scraggle.
Ooh, and she's tough.
You human girl. It's
Ooh,
okay.
She's coarse.
Hey.
Got
she's here to stay.
Little hair coming out my face. So, yeah. Hinge is awful. They're all really bad.
Yes.
Are you on Grindr?
I'm not on Grindr. That's probably the one thing I will not do.
Okay.
I am on Tinder.
Yeah.
I'm on Scruff.
Yeah.
Which is a very popular one in this podcast. And here's the thing, like, not to say that, I mean, I'm not like, oh, woe is me. I'm so unattractive. Mm-hmm. No, I like match with people.
Yes.
The problem is because LA is such a flaky ass town.
And racist.
We gonna go there?
I mean.
Are we gonna go there or
we
what?
We can. I just talked about it, but it's a very racist place.
Unbelievably. Like, shockingly racist.
Yes.
And weirdly conservative. And I was like, why? Why is LA that way? And I think maybe it's because there's so many people who move from their tiny conservative
yes.
towns to LA to quote unquote make it.
Yeah.
That they still carry those ideals with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's shocking to me how many people in our community
mm-hmm.
that I'm like, oh, you're cool. And then all of a sudden they'll say something that that's like record scratch that
yeah.
I'm like, wait, hold up. Oh, you are a secret agent.
Yes.
For the conservative right.
I'm constantly saying, because we work in comedy.
Uh-huh.
We're around a lot of comedians. And a lot of our little white comedian friends will go,
oof.
Oh, they went diverse on that part. And I'm like, well, no. They did not go diverse on the secondary characters.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have inclusion up top, if
yeah.
one of the main characters isn't black, guess where it trickles down?
Mm-hmm.
To the job you could've, should've, would've had. So you
yep.
should want inclusion, because then you can have a job.
Yeah.
You know? And then when people during staffing season are like, well, they're only looking for women and like people of color right now, it's like, oh, well, that's because there's 8 white people in that room.
Yep.
So that's why they don't want you.
It's just
but
so
guess
flippant.
What? If there was 8 black, brown,
mm-hmm.
female people in that room, then they could hire you.
Yeah.
Then there'd be no fucking problem
yeah.
hiring you. And so we got Ted. Who can't write?
Fucking Ted.
Ted's an EP.
Goddamn Ted.
Ted's useless.
Ugh.
Ted's using up all the fucking money.
Yeah.
Ugh, I mean, it's
so gross. I also hate when I like book jobs and people's like, oh my gosh, good job on that job. Isn't it so cool that right now diversity's in? And it's
yes.
like, excuse me.
Well, yes.
No, I earned this job.
Yes, and it was like, I got it because they thought I was funny.
Funny, and that's it, you know? Also, I worked my fucking ass
yes.
off in this business.
And people love to discredit you by just saying, oh, you know, it
yeah.
must be diversity or whatever.
Yep.
And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, even in like social media, like, truly, if you listen to these three in a row, I've mentioned
it's the same story.
Well, like, just like reality shows, like RuPaul's Drag Race, like the Black Queens,
yes,
the Puerto Rican Queens, they have less followers online.
Well, it's like they become categorized.
Yes.
And honestly, that bleeds into dating, you know? It doesn't, you might be the wokest ass person in the world,
yes,
but you are still categorizing us. We are not like the mainstream.
We can't just do anything.
Exactly.
We have to represent all Black people.
Exactly.
We're all Puerto Rican people or whatever,
yep,
where you have, white people could do anything mm-hmm they want. Like, okay, I don't agree with Kanye West on most of what he says.
Yeah.
But you can't be like, he's bad for Black people, because is Mel Gibson bad for white people?
White people, yeah.
No. Mel Gibson gets to scream the N-word and be belligerent and abusive to his ex-wife, and he gets to go away for 5 years because that's the length of time he took off.
Yeah.
And he gets to come back and be in a movie literally called Daddy's Home.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen is a raving lunatic. Yeah. Who is abusive and drunk mm-hmm and not good. And I've heard so many stories about him. We've all heard stories about him.
Yeah.
He didn't even go away.
No, he was still there.
He left 2.5 Men and then signed a deal for Anger Management for 100 episodes.
This is lunacy.
100 episodes. He gets rewarded for his behavior with 100 episodes. Like Mark mm-hmm Wahlberg attempted to murder a man.
Yep.
And he gets to be in all of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Allen, I mean, it's he said,
it's
she
weird
said at this point, yeah, but like it's an allegation that won't go away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, if it won't go away, there has to be legitimacy to it.
Yeah.
And then people like in the beginning, Bill Cosby, people are like, oh, that's just they're trying to take down a Black man. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing bad things, too. He deserves to go down as well. All the men who are bad deserve to go down.
It's insane.
And
for us, like, what I'm sick of is people being like, looking at us and being like, so-and-so is a success story or it's a disappointment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, okay, that's fine. But like, why can't we just be a story?
Like, God
just like
forbid
everyone else.
Tiffany makes a mistake. Tiffany Haddish.
Ooh,
For a second,
I thought you were referring to Tiffany Pollard, aka New York.
Mm.
And I was like, she don't make mistakes.
She don't make any mistakes.
She don't make mistakes.
Tiffany Pollard is very funny.
I want her back ASAP.
Where
you been, girl?
So funny. I think she does a podcast.
I need to see her.
Very funny.
We miss you.
But like, Tiffany Haddish is being built. I think she's very funny.
I think she is very
funny. I think she's very sweet. You know, hung out and been around each other a couple mm-hmm times. I won't say we're best friends because we're not. But I'm like worried. I'm like, oh God.
But that's
what
crazy.
What if she does something?
If she slips a little
just
bit.
Just one time and then it all comes crumbling from under her. And guess who doesn't get a second chance? Black women.
Yeah.
People of color.
Yeah.
You make one fucking mistake and like you go
away.
And you
have to be the one. You know
do
what I mean?
Like how many movies does Gabrielle Union have to do before she can be a star?
Oh my gosh.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Gabrielle Union had no promotion for her last movie.
No, not at all.
Amy Schumer had all the promotion for her movie, and I think they did the same. I think they opened, I might be wrong. Internet, please tell me if
it might
wrong
be around at the same time.
But
though,
I think they opened the same weekend and I think they made the same amount of money.
Yeah, but no one talks about that movie.
But yeah, no
all
one's talking about either one of the movies really now.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm like, if they're opening at the same thing, why is one getting more money than the other one if they can both open at the same box office thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like Taraji P. Henson should be in everything. Proud Mary got no promotion.
No, not at all.
And I was
people
like,
didn't even know Proud Mary
no
came out.
And it's just, it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer. And I don't, like, Crazy Rich Asians is a movie that I feel like if it doesn't do well.
I know, they're like,
they're
see,
be
we
like,
tried.
We tried,
we
and,
tried,
you know, nobody wants to see,
we
you know,
tried
Asian people, you know, run around.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, also, why do we have to name the movie Crazy Rich Asians? Maybe I think it might
I mean,
be based on
a
book.
Yeah.
But then it's also you got Fresh Off the Boat. I'm like, it can't just be family people.
No.
Just
I
like,
know.
Hey, we're family.
Yeah.
This is a family show. We're family. Family. Blackish. Just people living.
Yeah.
Just people living.
Just us. Oh my gosh. There's that show, The Neighborhood, that's coming out.
Girl.
Whoa.
I
What is this? What alternate reality are we living in right now?
I didn't read the script, but my understanding is it's a comedy about gentrification.
It's, yeah, a comedy used very loosely. I mean,
I haven't read it, so I can't really make any comments on it other than I know that it's about gentrification. And my whole thing is, like, I don't know if gentrification's funny.
No, it's not.
Like, gentrification is, I won't say ruined New York, but it's ruined New York.
Hell yeah.
It's, like, when my neighborhood, I lived in Harlem, got that Whole Foods, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We're done. We got a Starbucks and a Whole Foods, and I was like, we're done.
It's becoming unlivable in New York. And honestly, it's creeping into Los Angeles, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, oh, we can't live here.
Yeah, like, my apartment was cheap. It was $1,800 for a two-bedroom, which
Damn.
Was like...
What the fuck?
Well...
How?
So, my friend Marcy lived there before me, and then I think Marcy had a friend who lived there before her, so we just kept moving in and not allowing her to remodel it, so like, it was a little janky, a little crusty. Like, I had it cleaned once, and the cleaning lady said, you never cleaned this before?
She's like, I quit.
You've never cleaned this before. And I was like, no, I haven't. She's like, nope, I show you here, you never clean this. And I was like, yeah, that's crusty. So that's how I got so cheap.
Yeah.
But like buying a house, I was truly like, oh, so I'm gonna have to spend $1 million for a fixer fucking up.
Oh yeah, for trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything I saw that was under $1 million was trash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an insane sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Any other place, $1 million house
you would
is
live
$1 million house.
$1 million house anywhere outside of New York and LA, you get... And 10 acres of land and a fucking mansion.
Yep. And a manservant.
Yes. And someone to eat your little chocolate hamburger. It's insane. It's really.
Knock, knock, knock. I'm your burger eater. Come on in.
But it's a lot of foreign money coming in.
Yeah.
So, like, I had this one house that I saw and I was like, this is so poorly laid out. Mm-hmm. Nobody will buy this house. I'll buy it. I'm okay living in a weird house where the third bedroom you have to go outside to access.
No.
And the wall shares the wall with the fucking cold garage and that there's no heat ventilation going into that room. So whoever sleeps in there will die
it's
of
fucked.
Being cold. Oh, sure. I will live in the, there was a pool house that was so small, but had a full kitchen. So you could only put a chair in it. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Why are people
no way.
Selling?
Oh, no God. Way this will go for list. And it sold for over list in cash offer.
You're kidding.
From China. So like someone from China saw the listing, looked at the pictures. I don't think they even saw the house.
They're like,
we'll
buy it.
And just paid cash for it. It's like, it's crazy the amount of foreign money that flows through here.
Jeez.
And then there's also crazy the amount of money that like people will just drop on shit.
Mm-hmm.
The disparity of wealth in California is crazy. I don't love going downtown.
Oh my gosh.
Because.
Well, it's so blatant. It's so obvious.
You will pay $500 for your dinner and look out the window and see a man waving at you taking a shit.
Yeah.
Like a literal
He's waving at you
shit.
With his dick and he's shitting.
Yeah, his dick is out in his hand and he's taking a nasty running dump. And you're like, well,
enjoy this pate. Okay.
Yeah, this is great fucking chill.
What kind of rich foods are you eating, huh, Nicole?
Not much, obviously. truffled fucking foie gras. I just had foie gras. Foie gras.
Is that how you say it?
Foie gras.
Foie gras.
How you say it?
Foie gras. Foie gras.
Marissa, how you say it? Do you know? Foie gras.
What?
Foie gras.
Foie quad.
Forest gras.
The enemy from Shrek, the Shrek movies. Foie quad.
Lord Farquaad. I just had that shit for the first time. It's nasty.
It's gross.
As fuck.
Rich people food is disgusting.
I had caviar. Caviar is fucking
it's disgusting.
Nasty. Escargot. You want
me
to eat a snail? You want me to eat a sidewalk fucking delight? No.
And it's $600?
Disgusting.
No, thank you.
What? Frog legs? Get the fuck up
away.
Out of here. What's
people
another?
Be eating like roaches, crickets.
You want me to scoop out bones?
Ugh.
No, bitch. Give me my meat off the bone.
Why the fuck we eating like cavemen all of a sudden?
Truly, waving bones around. Yeah. Saying, it's Pharaoh, yeah, suck it up.
Excuse me.
No.
Can I have some more bone, please?
Disgusting. Back to dating.
Yes.
What? I don't even know what we were talking about.
So wait, what is going on in your dating life?
Okay. Nothing.
Like, no, I don't believe that.
Well, every time I go out of town, I set my Tinder to that location, try to swipe in advance, match with some people, let it simmer for a day or two. When I get there, try to fuck. Every time I've gone out of town in the last 3 or 4 months, I've gotten my period. I don't fuck on my period. Yeah. It's a personal preference. It's messy. And I personally don't like it.
Some dudes love it.
Some women love it.
It is not
for me.
You. Yes.
Uh-uh.
You don't like, yeah. No rare chocolate burger.
No, I don't want a chocolate burger with strawberry jam. Ooh, all right, I retire from comedy. Yeah. I'm not here for it, and I'm beginning to think that I need to be single for a little bit because that keeps happening.
Do you have better luck out of town than in LA?
No.
Mm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go to Sacramento, and everyone is not cute.
Yeah.
And then you go to Naples, Florida, the last few places I've been.
Yeah.
And they're not cute.
Yeah. That's the fucked up
Albany,
shit.
You go to Albany, New York, and everybody's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
it's fucked up because, like, you can't even say, like, because I used to, like, give that excuse of, like, oh, nobody likes me. Oh, I just want someone to like me. There are people who do like me.
Sure.
I'm, like, not attracted to them.
Here for
exactly.
Them.
Like, that's not the narrative that I want. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know?
I know full well that, like, some of the men... Also, okay, here's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm very pretty.
Yes.
I think...
That's the truth.
Thank you. I like my face. I like my body. I think I'm a very attractive person.
Yes.
And when someone who's not as attractive as I think I should be with is messaging me or whatever, I'm like, no thank you.
Well, yeah, you don't have time for that.
And I feel like... The attractive person that I want to be with, I think, is looking for someone more attractive than me.
Mm.
So I think it's a real my best friend's wedding situation where Julia Roberts is chasing Dermot Maroney.
Well, you fucked up that name.
Dermot Maroney.
Is that his name?
His name is Dermot Maroney.
That's not a name, Nicole Byer. Don't you dare tell me that's a name.
It is Dermot Maroney.
That's not a...
It is his name.
I call bullshit on that.
And Dermot Maroney is chasing Cameron Diaz, and no one is chasing Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. Wait, best friend's wedding. Best...
Yeah, show me the receipts. Come
friends.
On.
Okay, yeah, his name is Dermot Maroney.
What?
Yeah, Dermot Mulroney. D-E-R-M-O-T. Dermot Mulroney. The next time a white person says...
That's a fucking weird-ass name.
Tyresha, what kind of name is that? I'm going to say, what kind of fucking name is
Dermot Mulroney? Ugh. Y'all got weird names, too.
Yes.
So don't come with that.
And it's so funny when people don't want to just take the time to learn someone's name.
No, it's fucking gross. Oh, here's something funny. Uh-huh. And you know this too. You had mono a couple of episodes ago, but like people in the community confuse the two of us all the time.
Mono never has glasses on. And you don't look anything alike. Interesting.
But people don't, not only with names, but they don't want to know our faces even.
No.
It is
You're just two brown people.
We're two brown gay people, and they categorize us as such, and they don't bother to get our names
right. It's disgusting. Once on stage, though, I said to my dear friend Mono, "What kind of Latino are you?" And he laughed really hard and went, "Nicole, you know I'm Greek." And I was like, and I'm like flashing back to the spanakopita we made at a bridal shower or like a bachelorette retreat.
You flash back to all those moments where Mono was like, "Girl, I'm Greek."
And he's like, "I'm going to Greece." It's like, fuck. And then I was like, "Girl, you can't. You can't do that. If you want to ask someone, you make sure it's not on stage." And then you know his last name is Agapian.
Yeah, that is not a Latin name.
It's not Latin at all, girl.
But you know what, though? I did see him. I was in a, I was at a commercial, a McDonald's commercial audition, which, oh God.
And they are Mono racist.
Was, oh, hell yeah.
Especially their radio spot.
Hell yeah. Oh, only brown, you know, according to the media, only brown people eat McDonald's. That's it.
Yep. Only, yeah,
white
black
people
and brown people
are not allowed
love
there.
Love McDonald's.
We can't have enough of it. Ooh, give me them fries.
I love that dollar menu. Do you want to know why? Because it's only a dollar. And I can use the rest for my crack problem. I don't know.
But Mono and I, we were it was like a Latin spot. Like straight up, you must speak Spanish in it. And Mono was it. And I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, girl, the business thinks I'm Latino. And I'm like, damn, that's problematic. I mean, like.
Yeah.
Even Mono being like, I'm not Latin. I don't look Latin. I don't speak Spanish. They're like, cool.
But you're some kind
care.
Of brown. We don't give a shit. Yeah. Come on in. Joel Kim Booster, who's a comedian, tweeted something that really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. He was like, adoption doesn't need to be a storyline. There's just some blended families.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Because he's adopted.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever really seen a story being told of someone who's adopted where that wasn't the whole thing.
Yep.
Where it wasn't just a blended family and you figured it out.
Yep.
Like a throwaway line 4 episodes in.
And then we
well,
forget about it.
When you adopted
it.
Me, like blah, 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 and then it's done.
Done, yeah.
And
because people will look at that and be like, explain yourself.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just biracial families. I feel like you don't really see.
Yeah, or you do see, and it's like that's the whole gag. It's like, did you see that Honey Nut Cheerios commercial with the mixed family?
Yes.
What?
Brave. Yeah.
So, hashtag so brave. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
very Cheerios, very brave.
Okay, like why can't it just be though?
Yeah, I don't know, and it's. And then I was on a podcast and, God, I'm blanking on her name. She's like a YouTube person. But she said, she was like, I just want to see a movie where Kim and Karen love each other. It's a rom-com. No one has to come out.
Yeah.
One's a doctor. One's a truck driver. I don't know. And they.
Yeah.
And it's just a rom-com.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Every.
We are
like,
so far behind, though.
Every queer movie I'm thinking of has some sort of secret gayness or coming out gayness.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? I don't think I've ever really seen a storyline where a character goes, well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to tell my ex-boyfriend about my ex-girlfriend. Like, I've never really seen, like, you don't see, like, it's getting a little bit better, but then, like, I don't. It's not.
It's not.
Like
it's
not every LGBT movie needs to or LGBTQ. I don't want to leave people out. It doesn't have to be a Moonlight. I love Moonlight.
Yes, yes, yes.
But like, we don't need every movie to be like just heavy and like.
Yeah, because also there's Moonlight, and then the complete opposite of Moonlight is Love, Simon.
Yeah, I haven't. I need to. I should.
Okay, so with Love, Simon, it's interesting because first, as a gay man, I'm like thirsty for content. I'm like, tell my story, please, please. And so Love, Simon came out, and I was like, oh, Love, Simon came out, lol. I was like, okay, great. Okay, I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna see how it is, and within. I would say minutes of watching it, I'm like, this is written by a straight white woman. I could tell. And I was like, okay, watch. Because it's a story about us, but it does not feel like it's coming from us. And sure enough, it was written by a very nice, white, straight woman. And I'm like, interesting.
Such a huge problem with that.
It's interesting.
I feel like it resonated with a lot of people because it was closer to their story than has been told.
Right.
And then like Moonlight, to me, I did not identify with much in that movie, but I loved it.
Yeah.
And I cried. And then you see Barry Jenkins and you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a story that might be yours or like close to your heart or someone you know. And I buy it and I believe it.
Yeah.
But I just watched this movie that is coming out. It's not out yet, but it is a movie about a photographer who is gay whose work was considered pornographic. I don't know if I can say his name because I don't know if the movie's out yet.
Uh-huh.
But I was watching it and I was like, whoa, for this man to be so heavy in the gay community and gay culture and pornographic images,
yeah,
and at the forefront of like AIDS and death in New York in the 80s, I was like, there was no graphic sex.
Yeah.
And I was like, this movie should have had a lot of graphic sex. He's essentially a photographer who's also a pornographer who has a lot of sex. We didn't show
and
it.
None
it
of that
was very sanitized.
Yeah.
And then they very briefly mentioned the AIDS crisis. And I was like, this is your story.
I don't
need to see any of how he came out and became what he is. I want to see the
hit me with
I'm
the
not
real
like,
stuff.
I'm not like, give me sex, but I was like,
no, hit me with
this
the
was
real
such
stuff.
A heavy part of this man's life. And then the AIDS crisis in the 80s, like, there have been very few movies who have really gotten into how devastating that was and how our government just let people die because they're disgusting.
They ignored it, yeah.
You know, and he's a white man. So he comes from some sort of privilege in that, where like he was still sleeping around with people. Maybe when he shouldn't have been, but like, you know, maybe people didn't think he was sick because he was white and a lot of, you know, whatever. And I was like, I bet you a woman wrote this. I bet you a woman wrote
and?
This who doesn't understand gay men. And yes, a nice, hold on, let me just confirm that before I go out here lying.
But we don't
on
know
shit.
What the movie is.
We don't know what the movie is. But I was like, oh, wow.
It's so weird. Also, like, there's that, like, Freddie Mercury movie that's going to come out.
And that's a straight white man,
well,
I believe,
I mean,
doing
it's
that.
Just like, God, it's a tale as old as time, honestly. But, like, if they don't talk about him being gay, and I mean gay, and they don't show sex scenes, and they don't show the AIDS epidemic, like, because I think the movie is about them writing Bohemian Rhapsody, which I'm like, okay, you cheating though, because like, if you're gonna tell me a Freddie Mercury story, you gotta tell me the whole story. You can't just tell me about that one song that he sang, and then he's like, oh yeah, by the way, he's gay and he died of AIDS, bye!
Yeah, I was right, it's a white lady.
Yeah, well, you know. Ugh!
But, yeah, I think it's really interesting that like, Freddie Mercury was very, very gay. Like, pretty overtly gay, right?
Very.
Like, I don't think he talked about it a lot.
But I mean,
but
you knew.
Like, you
the
knew.
Whole, it's like when Boy George didn't talk about his homosexuality, but you're like,
oh, you gay.
Yeah, you fish, girl. You fish.
Do you think being, well, yeah, you've said it, being a person of color, and you've recently lost some weight. Yes.
Have I?
Yes,
okay,
right?
Cute. Yes.
Have you?
I don't know. Girl, my weight, I have no idea. It goes up, down, all around. It's been insane.
All right.
This whole story. Yeah.
We don't have to talk about that, but.
Well, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah. I just like my weight has been an issue. I mean, actually, if you remember a long time ago, Mano and I did a pilot podcast for Our Bodies Are Weird, which you were a guest on.
Yes. And it never went anywhere.
It never went anywhere. Hopefully, we'll revive that. In the future, but like we're just talking about our bodies and like just body issues that we've had. You know, I used to be a dancer a long time ago, and like, of course, body image issues like plagued my entire life. And now I'm sort of just like freed from it. But I don't, in living in LA, I don't feel like I've gotten a complete just handle on my body. You know, in New York,
LA
I was like,
will fucking,
it's just weird for
make
me.
Make you feel some type of way. For me, too,
yeah.
I walk around and I see these people with incredible bodies who work hard for their bodies.
Yes.
And I am not willing to do that work. I am the opposite of every person I've ever met.
Yeah.
I got on TV and gained weight. Any other person you see on television
gets
something,
so
and then they lose
skinny.
So much weight.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I got money to eat now. Yeah. I was poor for very, like, just truly, I used to steal from Gristiti's.
Girl.
I would steal pizza. What I would do is, there's this pizza place where, well, you know, you order your slices.
Yeah.
So there was this pizza place by where I used to live where it was like a pretty long display of pizza. So you would order at the end.
wait, get your pizza maybe midway through, wait, pay. So as I was waiting, I was housing a slice. And then sometimes I would eat it really, really fast, like turn my back and like fucking slam it.
Wow.
And then be like, oh, you only gave me one slice. And then they would give me another one. And I was just like, well, I like, this is how I get food. Yes. I'm hungry.
Isn't it so funny? The crazy shit we do to just survive.
Yeah.
I mean, bitch, I was dumpster diving.
Yeah.
When shit got down.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, living in New York is rough.
It is.
Is rough.
A lot of my furniture was street furniture until bed bugs got to be too bad.
Oh, God.
Ugh. And like, you know, we, in my first apartment, we had a massage chair that was our kitchen table for about 3 years. It was just in the kitchen and we would eat around it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know, how much is a fucking table?
Yeah.
And
the answer is too much.
Too much. We need it free.
Yeah.
Our TV was on a suitcase.
Yeah.
For 3 or 4 months before mm-hmm. we got a stupid little stand that we got from the street. Our TV was like a fucking tube TV that was like 150 pounds. It was, our apartment was disgusting. My mattress was like on the floor. I slept on futons.
Girl, it's been a journey.
Yes. And sometimes I look at my house and I'm just like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Someone could take all this away from me and I could be poor again.
Girl.
But I can't be because I bought a house in a great area of Los Angeles that I will never lose money on. And that was half of my thinking. Everyone's like, Highland Park's coming up. And I was like, but will Highland Park be up when if I have to sell?
The crazy shit that you have to think about.
Yeah,
now.
Man. I never dumpster dove, but I did eat off people's plates when I waitressed. Because, yes, they gave me food.
Story.
And I would get fed for free, but I would take that home if I wasn't working the next day.
You know.
Also, there was days where I was like, all right, either I walk 50 blocks to go, like, meet up with a friend, or I just stay at home because I don't have the $2.
Yep. Yeah.
And that, man, I, as a 30-year-old person now, or 32, 33...
30s.
As a 75-year-old woman, I can't fathom living like that again. It's tough.
You worked super hard to get where you are now. And here's the thing, Nicole. I've known you for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I, first of all, you shiny as fuck. You've always been shiny. You've always been shiny.
Yeah, you know me from like when I started.
Yes,
just comedy in general.
But you've always been shiny, you know?
Thank you.
And
you shiny as fuck, too.
The thing that I truly admire about you, I may have said this to you before, but I'm telling you so the public will hear. Let it be known. Let the record show that you worked so hard to just be heard.
Thank you.
That's all. Because you were always funny. You were always talented. You were always special. And all you needed was for people to hear what you had to say. And I'll tell you right now, back in the day, people were not ready to listen.
No, they weren't.
Because only one voice was being heard, and it was the straight white male. Especially in what we were doing at the time.
Yep, improv is a very...
You know, and
straight
it was
white male environment.
But you know what? You and the doppelganger girls, you made a space that was like, no, now you listen to us. And people listened. And I mean, you should be so proud of yourself, girl.
Oh, thank you.
Because your journey is rough and you made it. You made it the other side. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
You special, girl. I love you so much. You know that.
Oscar!
You know that.
Thank you. Those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
I can explain doppelganger to people who don't know what Oscar's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was in a 3-lady improv group. It was me, Sashir Zameda, and Keisha Zoller, who works behind the scenes a lot. She's on that show, The Opposition.
She's a goddess.
Klepper.
I love her.
Beautiful, funny, amazing. And we were improvising at UCB, and we auditioned for Herald Night, their house teams, and the three of us didn't get on. And we had been performing at that point, so then we were just like, oh, well, we could just keep performing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. Who cares? We don't need that. And then we started doing cage matches as a show at UCB, and then we started winning, mm-hmm. which was like a very rare thing for like a non-house team to win.
Yeah.
And I think we won for like 8 weeks, and then the theater rewarded us. They gave us a show, like a weekly show, which was like really awesome. And yeah, it was just, it was like hard. It was like,
it was just like, well,
and then we like thought about not doing it because we're like, what if nobody votes for us? Mm-hmm. You know, we're like going up against, I can't even remember. Oh, I think Sandino may have been, which was like a house team at the time. It was like a bunch of favorites of the theater. We were like, oh, I think we're going up against them and no one's going to vote for us. Yeah, it was just like a lot of things where, and then we did feel like some people in the community were coming out just to vote against us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, this, and people will tell me, like people have told me otherwise. And I was like, it's not the feeling you get.
Yep. And you
when
know.
When you win mm-hmm. and you watch, you know, Ted in the back
that fucking
with a
Ted.
Frown on his face.
That fucking Ted again.
Ted is
My
bad.
God.
Ted is an asshole. And it was just like, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see what's happening here. And it does seem like it's a black-white thing.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of white people being like, it's not always about race. I'm like, a lot of it is.
But a lot of it is. And it might not be for you because you ignore it.
Yes.
But I can't.
I can't. I can't take the, you know, Rachel Dolezal, she gets to be black when she wants.
Yes.
But there's no way Tyrone could be, I identify as white. It doesn't happen.
If I started walking around
saying I identify as white, mm-hmm. people would look at me like I was insane.
Like, oh, baby, okay.
Like, imagine.
Oh, baby.
Oscar, imagine you saw me tomorrow and I have white peach paint on my arms and a CoverGirl full face of makeup because you know they don't make my color. So even if I use the darkest color, I'd be in white face. And I said, Oscar, I now identify as a Caucasian. You would be like, Nicole's lost her mind.
I need to contact the
authorities.
But
Rachel Dolezal gets a Netflix special.
She does. She does.
That's privilege.
We hated her, and that turned into success for her.
I mean, it's wild. Listen,
really strange.
Barely talked about dating.
Listen, but you know what? It got racial.
It did.
And I like it.
Oh, wait, let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Why won't you date me?
Why won't I date you? Because mm-hmm. I like men. But putting that aside,
mm-hmm.
here's the thing too. Here's a little fun, stupid story about me. I came out when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
I've always knew that I was gay, but I never knew that I liked men, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, sure. You knew that you didn't like women. You didn't like what we were serving.
Yeah, well, I was like, I'm different. I'm mm-hmm. weird. I always knew I was queer in that sense of like, I mm-hmm. don't fit the normal. So I was also like a dancer. So like that has a, you know, I was very much mm-hmm. that. But also I was like, I've never slept with a man before. Like, I don't know if I'll like it. Mm-hmm. I was scared of it for a long time. And even while I was gay, out, I mean, telling everybody mm-hmm. and their mom that I was fucking gay, I was dating women, Nicole.
Oh.
I was dating women. And yeah, I don't know. I looking back, I was like, why was I living that fantasy? Like, why? And a lot of it was fear. Fear uh-huh. of like dating people that I was actually attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a sense of comfort dating women because women always liked me. Even to this day, women,
yes.
like, you know, I mean, there's no question, I'm gay as fuck. But still, women will come up to me and be like, I'm attracted to you, I have feelings for you. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, damn, am I the Pied Piper of pussy? Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't, I don't want it. I don't want this flute.
I think it might be because women feel safe around you.
I think so, yeah.
You are a kind, funny, just like warm person. Like, you walk into a room and you just bring this warmth with you. Mm. So I feel like women feel that and then they go, and he's a man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe this time. Maybe this time I'll be lucky. Maybe this time he'll stay and he'll fuck me. I think it's like a delusion.
Yeah.
When you walk into a room, because you, and then also you aren't super. This might come off awful. You're not super effeminate in the way you carry yourself, and in the way you dress.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
kind of dress. Like a fun, hip.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like you dress like a fun, hip, straight man, but you don't, it's not like.
I'm not, I get it. I'm not like presenting.
Yes.
super homosexuality. Yes. I get it. I mean, yeah, for
and
sure.
And I think that's also confusing where you're like, well, he is wearing, you know, like a baseball cap.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, there are dinosaur tattoos.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, maybe it's not gay. Maybe it's very hipster.
He's got a Medusa tattoo.
Yeah, I
in
think.
In his shit, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I feel that. However, I will say back to why won't I, yeah. Oscar Montoya, date Nicole Byer, is because I'm not straight, but I will say this. 15 years ago, I would have definitely dated you.
Yeah.
Because you would be the perfect type of woman I would have fallen for. Someone who's an extrovert, someone who is just like a positive human being, fun, funny, like alive.
Oh,
I can't say that about a lot of people. Alive, like.
I know what you mean. Sometimes you talk to people and you're like, where's the happiness?
No, you dead. You got
where's
no pulse, baby.
You're done.
Yeah. I mean, that's surprisingly the huge
of
amount of people, especially in the comedy community. I'm like,
yeah,
wait, you're boring. What
yes.
the hell? And you're, how are you funny and boring? How does that
There's a lot
how does
of
that fit?
Boring, funny people who are in relationships. And I'm like, do y'all stare at
Nicole,
each other?
They are all in relationship. Well, here's what I'll say too. The gender role in the heterosexual, homosexual thing is so wild to me because I do think that women are very forgiving about men.
Oh,
the
yeah.
most, the hottest women will yes. go for the most defuck men
yes.
I've ever seen in my
yeah.
life. Like, how is this acceptable? And I, you know, it's like, you got, it's the King of Queens syndrome. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like that King of Queens, what's his name?
Kevin James. You better believe he got a Netflix special, Don't Never Give Up.
How is that possible?
Girl.
Meanwhile, like the most gorgeous, fun women have to struggle to find any sort of half-dead fish to hook up with. How is that possible?
It's wild.
Straight man, you need to take care of your woman a lot better.
Straight
they
men,
taking care of you.
You need to get pedicures and manicures. Straight man, you gotta open up a fucking magazine and buy some outfits.
Straight man, you just gotta try. That's all. But that's the fucked up thing. They don't try and they
no.
still get it.
Yes.
They don't try and they still get
I've seen literal dumpsters with like women.
Dumpsters with baseball caps.
And I'll tell you something. I want to move to Portland because I've seen some real trash bag women with some hot men.
Oh, is that where the rules change?
Yes. The rules are all
okay.
fucked up in Portland.
I'm telling you, Portland is a mecca for, I mean, my kind of guys, they
yes.
all live they all
yes.
live in Portland.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, two men that I dated who are now married to each other live in Portland, Oregon.
I mean, I love Portland. Portland's a curious place, though.
Yes.
Portland was founded as a mecca for the KKK up north.
Wait, hold up. What?
Yeah, it was... Portland was founded, again, I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure Portland was founded as a white utopia. Let me look this up.
Damn, ain't that a gay? Ain't that
I'm
a
like
fucking
99%
gay.
Sure it was founded as a white utopia,
yeah.
And also their housing rules are very fucked up.
Oh, interesting.
Also, here's a weird thing. My friend, one of my dear, dear friends, Tessie, her husband Steven owns a bar called Church. You should go to it. It's very good if you're in Portland. He also owns another one called something else. And you have to serve food until you close in Portland at a bar.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my kind of place.
I think in Portland, they think food sobers you up to like drive home. And I'm like, Portland, no, that's not right. We should wrap up, though. We've
no,
been talking
I don't
forever.
Want to.
Hold on. Let me look up if it's a white mecca.
Wait, Nicole, I have a question for you.
Please.
Ethnic-wise, what demographic do you typically go for?
I used to... Oh, okay. The first thing I found was the racist history of Portland, the whitest city in America. Okay,
there we go.
So
period. Case
I
closed.
Am right.
Case closed.
Ding, ding. I used to go for white men. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned it before on the podcast because... growing up, black men would ask me why I spoke the way I spoke and if I thought I was better than them, and they would call me an Oreo. And I had a very fleeting relationship with a man from Brooklyn who was black, who was also like an active gang member. And and I kept being like, can I like be a groupie? Like, can I like hang out with you and your friends? And he's like, no, it's too dangerous. And he like,
you will get killed.
Yeah, he was like, you get killed. And I was like, can I just like get jumped in? And he's like, no, Nicole. He's like, you wouldn't fit in the gang.
Oh, damn, okay, shit. Wow.
And he would routinely, he would just be like, why do you talk the way you talk? Mm. And I was like, oh, I don't need to justify my blackness to anybody. Mm-hmm. So then I like shied away from black men mm-hmm. because I just didn't want to have to be like, oh, I am black, or like code switch or talk a certain way for them to be like, oh, okay, she's cool or whatever. And then I was like, white men, that's it. I'd rather be called exotic than not black enough.
Uh-huh.
Because like for someone to go, you're not black enough when your skin is, I'm like dark. A dark skinned woman. And to like look down and be like, but how am I not black enough?
Yeah. It's like, I'm aware of it.
Yeah. Like I don't get it. And lately I have been like, no, I want to be with a black man. Mm. I just got to find the black man who's right for me, because white people keep saying wild things. Mm. And then I feel like, not all white people.
Right.
But like sometimes you talk to a white person to a point where you're like, oh, here's where it is. Here's the tea.
Oh my gosh.
Here is why.
You dig like, deep enough and you'll find something.
Like there's
ugly.
A lot of like misogyny and entitlement mm-hmm. and things that I was like, oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
But also I'm to the point where men are evil and they're bad. All of them. Every single last man is a bad man. And I don't
disagree
think
with
I
that.
Want it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Obviously, I'm kidding, but I'm not. They're all bad. And then I'm like, well, maybe I date a woman. Mm-hmm. But on an app, I can't get to her. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm attracted to a woman when I speak to her. And I feel something. Mm-hmm. Whereas like a man, I can look at and be like, you look like a dumpster. Maybe you look
right,
okay.
Right.
And women is different
it's
because
different.
Like, I feel like she could look cool, but then you start talking to her and she's like, oh my God. You're like, ooh, you don't shut up, girl. Okay. And then I do like a little bit of, I like masculine women.
Yeah.
I like a little masculine energy going on. Yeah, like a boy,
yeah.
The eye, if you will.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and then like I would also date like a trans either mm-hmm. way. I don't mind. Like genitalia isn't a problem for
yes,
me.
Yes, yeah. It's not everything.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I say I want a big dick. We can go shopping for a big dick.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm just at this point. At 78 years old and just I think I'm looking for an emotional connection at this point.
Yes.
And
yes.
Honestly, the longer I do the podcast, the more I'm like, yes, an emotional connection. I would like a partner. I would like someone.
You ready to settle down?
I think I am. Yeah. I don't want no kids though.
Me neither. Yeah,
fuck
gross.
Em.
Kids are gross. You don't like kids. You really don't like kids.
I mean, they're disgusting. Also, kids.
But you did work with kids, yes?
I was a nanny for years.
Yeah. I mean, me too. And that's why I will never have children.
It was the best birth control I've ever had. Taking care of somebody else's little snot-nosed dummy. Ugh, kids are stupid.
Do you still talk to that kid?
No, but I do miss him.
Yeah?
There's one kid that I nannied, Gus, that I like. Ugh, what a dream.
Yeah.
I had him from birth to about 2 or like 1.5-ish.
Oh my God, that's so young.
Yes. Well, what happened was I was in an improv class with his dad and I was like, I'm unemployed. I'll probably still be unemployed when that baby's born. Turns out, when you don't try, you don't get a job. So he was like, yeah, I trust you. And I like went over there. I think he was like 10 days old. Mm-hmm. His mom put him in my arms and he was like kind of fussing. And then he just kind of like looked at me and fell asleep. And I was like, oh,
uh-oh.
Boy,
yeah.
This is meant to be. And it truly, it was.
Yeah.
He had a big head, so he couldn't crawl early.
Oh, my
so
God.
So I would put him in this donut, and he would look at me, and I'd go, all right, Gus, this is what happened today. I think I met a man. Like, he just had to listen to me, so I talked to him
my
a lot.
Gosh.
So then he learned how to talk pretty early, because I talked to him so much. Because I'm pretty, I'll just talk. And when he found out farts were funny, that was a good time.
Oh my god.
We were sitting on the front stoop because I would walk around with him outside and he was like drinking his bottle and he was like toot and I went, huh. And then he went, huh? And then we're like, huh? And then we're like, so stupid. My favorite thing to do with him was take him to Whole Foods, push him around, just hold my phone in my ear and be like, Carl, everybody thinks he's adopted. Nobody thinks he's mine. Everyone thinks I'm the nanny. Why did we adopt a white baby? I just, and then like people would just be like,
oh my gosh.
And then once I did it at not the Whole Foods, because I did it only like 3 times at Whole Foods before. I was like, people will catch on to this. We were in, I think I took him to Mandy's. There's some Mandy's.
Mandy's with the 2 E's at the end?
Yeah, I'm like 96 in Broadway. It's probably closed now. We were in Mandy's in this, and I did it in there. And this woman was like, I knew that was your baby.
I see you. I see you.
I see you, and I know you. He's yours. And I was like, 20 at the time. Like, I was just a 20-year-old or 22-year-old woman 22, screaming about people not thinking her baby is hers. Come on. Obviously, she's a babysitter. Obviously. All right.
So what happened now, with Gus now?
He lives in the Bay Area.
How old is he now?
Probably... Let's see. My dad died in 08. That's when I started doing improv. I probably started babysitting him in 2009 or 2010-ish. So he's like 7 or 8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. He's still a kid.
Yeah, he's a little boy.
Oh.
I haven't seen him in years. Oh. Once he pointed to an O magazine and went, you?
Just, oh, God.
Nah, buddy.
Kids say the darnest things.
Nah, buddy. I ain't Oprah. If I was Oprah, I wouldn't be here. Oscar, do you have anything you want to promote? Because we could talk for hours.
We really could.
I don't think Marissa would be happy about that. She said, I want to go home. Yeah. I don't like this.
I have a podcast. Listen to it. It's called Inside the Disney Vault. I'm on a mission to watch every single Disney animated movie in chronological order and talk about it. There is a segment that I do in the podcast where I have a lot of tattoos on my body, mm-hmm. and I pick a random thing from a movie and I say I want to put it in my body. And I've done it to, I actually have one tattoo from a movie and it's from Song of the South, which is hilarious. But I really.
So wait, you have Disney tattoos?
I have one Disney tattoo and it's from Song of the South.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's this beautiful lace collar over here on my brachiosaur.
Good.
Anyway, so yeah, check it out. Inside the Disney Vault. It's really fun. It's really great. I gotta have you on, Nicole.
Please.
But I'll wait for a really fucking stunner of a movie.
Please. Because
a lot of these
are
trash. We're up to Chicken Little right now.
Chicken Little? Oh, yeah. So you're pretty far.
Oh, we're real far. Yeah.
What's after Chicken Run?
Chicken Little.
Oh, what's
Chicken Run
Little?
Is that stop motion animation. Wrong. Wait, chicken movie,
when
girl.
Was Chicken Little? When did that come out?
Chicken Little was with Zach Braff, and that came out in like 2004.
Okay, so you are far.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's
so we're.
Chicken Run?
Chicken Run is a stop motion animation movie with Mel Gibson as the voice of the main character.
Boo!
Yes, and we've come full circle.
I'm on a quest to ruin his career.
Yeah, well.
I talk about it in my hour of stand up how bad he is.
Good luck,
girl. I'm on a quest. I hate him. Okay, if you liked Why Won't You Date Me, you gotta subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you read or if you leave a review where you say something nasty, I will read it. This is from, I screenshotted, this is from Jim. Jim said, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens and orally pleasuring a woman are a few of my favorite things. I just want to go down on you and make you come. Nothing more, nothing less. I am clean, respectful, discreet, and sane. I disagree with that last one.
How are you going to start a review or like just a letter referencing The Sound of Music?
I don't know, but I almost was like, maybe I message this person back.
Are you going to?
No.
No, leave it alone, girl. Leave it alone.
No, I leave him alone. All right, Oscar. Thank you so much for
you.
Being here. I love you.
I love you.
And I can't wait to do the next iteration. I will be at next UCB Drag Race, or I'll be at the third one. I don't remember.
She'll be inside. She is a co-host.
I do a great thing where I go, I'm coming. And then I go, actually, I'm not. I'm really trying to grapple with overworking myself and overpromising.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No, no tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Tomatoes? Yes. Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.